One, two, three, four.
Screen time.
Hello, and welcome to It's My Screen Time 2, the podcast where we review the programming the other critics ignore. Stuff made for kids. Find out what to watch for family movie night, what to avoid altogether, and what you'll want to watch alone voluntarily. I'm Deborah.
And I'm Katie.
And I have three kids, ages 14, 11, and 11.
And I have two kids, age 8 and age 5.
Welcome to a Screen Time in the News episode for the week of February 21st, 2024. Last week, we reviewed Lila in the Loop, PBS Kids' first major foray into interactive content using AI. So we want to spend some time this week talking about AI and screen time. This isn't the first time we've talked about or panicked about AI on this show. You can take a listen to our episode from November 14th of last year, for example. But we have a feeling it's going to be coming up more and more in our kids' screen time lives, so we better learn to talk about it openly. If you Google AI and kids, there's a ton of information out there. AI as a means of exploiting children, AI as a means of cheating in schools. But we want to start with the basics, just how to introduce AI to our kids in a way that gives us the maximum sense of control and confidence as parents.
So with that in mind, we took a look at an article from last fall released by the MIT Technology Review titled, "You Need to Talk to Your Kid About AI. Here are 6 things you should say." It was published on September 5th and written by Rhiannon Williams and Melissa Hakila. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. So what are those 6 things that they talk about you needing to say to your kids about AI? I'm just going to run them down. What phraseology am I looking for there? I'm just going to go through them one by one. Number one, don't forget AI is not your friend. AI is made to sound friendly and engaging, but under no circumstances should kids share personal information with it. Number two, AI models are not replacements for search engines. This might be less relevant to those of us with kids too young to be actively looking things up online, but it is important to tell kids of all ages that AI is not built to give the right answer. It can and does lie. All the critical evaluation of sources that we stress out about teaching our kids about the internet remains true for AI. Number three, teachers might accuse you of using AI when you haven't. Again, this might seem like a problem far in the future for some of us, but the article did mention the importance of checking your kids' school's AI policies so you can make sure your kids are abiding by them. There's also a reminder in the article that ChatGPT keeps a record of conversations in case you need proof that your child hasn't used AI to write something. Number four, recommender systems are designed to get you hooked and might show you bad stuff. It's important to tell our kids why tech companies want them to use their products. One way to put it is, the more you use the product, the more money the tech company makes. They don't care if what you're seeing makes you feel good, bad, sad, or mad. They want to make money. The article puts it like this, quote, "Tech companies make money when people watch ads on their platforms. That's why they have developed powerful AI algorithms that recommend content, such as videos on YouTube or TikTok, so that people will get hooked and to stay on the platform for as long as possible," end quote. Number five, remember to use AI safely and responsibly. This bullet was mostly about the dangers of using generative AIs for deepfakes. We should caution our kids about uploading images of themselves or others to these types of AIs, even if their intentions are pure, because there's no way to know how they'll be used in the future. And finally, number six, don't miss out on what AI is actually good at. The article points out that kids can use AI to present a topic they're struggling with in a different way. It used the phrase, rephrase it as a rap, which made me really laugh out loud, or to take on the personality of a subject teacher to quiz them. All potentially useful tools, as long as we're careful to remind our kids at every step to evaluate the information they're being given critically. What was your take on this article? Was this your first, like, kind of foray into reading about AI and your kids and what that landscape is going to look like?
Yes, and it made me realize that I can't just pretend that AI doesn't exist. I think when your kids are little, you can really shield them from the horrors that our technological era has wrought, but you can't really now. And I mean, I have a middle schooler. He could totally be using AI, and maybe his, it's probably good that some AI lessons are incorporated into his curriculum because we can't put it back in the bottle.
We have to give them some grounding in this. And again, we have to somehow find a way to feel like we're as in control as we can be of how this is happening.
I thought there were a lot of good tips in here. We in our family already talk about how screens, just in general, are designed to be make you want. I mean, addictive is a strong word, but like screens are designed to keep your eyeballs on them. Like that's what we talk to our kids about, their iPads and any apps that they like to use, like Roblox, the game playing one, and like all the little rewards that give you that ping of dopamine. Like that's all, it's not an accident. It's the design of the system. And so that's good. The language in here was helpful about how to deal with AI feeding you content.
It reminded me of our conversation from last week about Lila in the Loop, and it was a good reminder to keep telling our kids that AI is not their friend. Because especially with like chatbots and the whole kind of personal tone that they adopt with kids, I can see that being really dangerous down the line. The constant reminders that like it's not your friend and it's not necessarily going to tell you the truth, I think are two really important ones that struck home with me.
Which is kind of a good rule for the internet anyway. We talk about how Wikipedia isn't like an authoritative source. My kids used to be big on Googling and stuff, and then they'd read like the answers that come up from like Quora, which is just any old rando on the internet can be typing into there, right? Or Reddit answers, that kind of thing. So it's good for information. This article was helpful for the information literacy aspect. And also just from like a cookies are a sometimes food kind of standpoint about technology in general or anything that feels really good. Like you can't just eat sugar all day. You can't be talking to a chat GPT all day either.
I thought it was funny that the article phrased it like AI is not a replacement for search engines. Because, yes, the AI can tell lies and not present true information, but your first hit on a search engine is also not good. So it's also a good reminder that we have to teach basic information literacy to our kids about the internet as a whole and not just about this new stuff.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to write back to the article authors like, search engines aren't that great. And the information about like the limited scope of the data that the AI bots are scraping is, I mean, they're not getting books that are in print and only in print or newspapers that are only on microfilm or microfiche. Which is maybe a little bit too in-depth of a information literacy conversation for, say, a 6-year-old, but it's
Yeah,
something
because
for us to keep in mind.
my 8-year-old is going to roll his eyes at the concept of information that isn't online yet. Like, if it's not there, why does it matter? Which, to be fair, was probably a conversation that I was having semi-seriously with people in college. Like, oh, why do you need to go to the library to look at books when, like, all the information you need to write your papers is available online? So, there's nothing new under the sun, I suppose.
I also liked that it gave a few examples of what AI can be helpful with, which does sort of help to demystify the technology. It's not like all good or all bad. It's good at some things, it's bad at others. I think it can be helpful from what I haven't used it myself. but I teach a writing class, and one of my students last time I taught the class was using AI to brainstorm lists to get ideas of things to write about. And I think that's an okay use of it. It's not asking the bot to write something for you. And also having it present information in a different way. I've never tried it, so I don't know if that's actually good or not.
I mean, I really want to feed the AI a like social studies worksheet and then ask it to wrap it back to me. Come on.
Yeah.
That just
or
sounds
like
it's gonna be hilarious.
Some like rule, like the Pythagorean theorem or something, like make it rhyme. That would be fun.
It sounds like there's potential out there, and I guess it's probably just another reminder that I need to spend some time with this technology to figure out more what I feel about it and what I feel like its utility is. Yes, it's something I've been putting off playing with because it makes me uncomfortable, but that is not mm-hmm. how you deal with hard things. That is not a lesson in our lives. It's not a lesson we want to teach our kids. So I should probably spend
some
time.
Well, it is actually how I like to deal with hard things, but it's not the way you're supposed to do it. do you want to move on to our just general catch-up for the pod?
Let's do some general pod catch-up. It's been so long.
I missed you. I know. Are you watching anything good with your kids, or are they watching anything good on their own?
Oh, before we launch into the really fun stuff, I want to give a shout out to a podcast episode about AI that I listened to with the kids. It was fun and managed to present AI in a non-terrifying way. So I know we've mentioned WoW in the World in this space before. It's a show that we really love listening to with our kids. Very fun. Their AI episode is called AI, AI, Oh Wow. And that's actually one that we've listened to multiple times because my kids thought it was so funny. So if you're looking for just a way to introduce the concept of AI to your kids in a fun and funny way, it's been great for both my 8-year-old and my 5-year-old. Wow in the World.
I love Guy and Mindy.
All right. So other general catch up.
We had the grandparents over to watch the We Are the World Greatest Night in Pop documentary that's on Netflix right now.
We're truly living in information silos because I did not know this existed. Tell me more.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember, or are you, you're a little younger than me, so maybe you don't remember We Are the World.
I mean, yes, I know that it happened. I don't remember it as a moment in my life, but I know it was a thing.
Okay. I listened to the song, not on repeat. I listened to the song by playing the cassette, rewinding for like 2 straight years of my childhood.
So when you invited your parents over to watch this, they like had a certain amount of post-traumatic feelings to get over?
Yeah, they talked about how we took like a road trip and I had like a cassette player in the back seat and that's all they listened to for like the entire travel time. But it was really, really fun. It's just footage from that one amazing night where they rounded up like so many pop stars. And they have Lionel Richie on to talk about the whole process. It's just really delightful. I loved it. Except my kids' complaint was they don't play the song in its entirety without anyone talking over it until the credits.
And you're like, hang on, I got you, kids.
Yeah, so if you want to introduce your kids to it, maybe listen to the song first and then watch the film. It was super fun.
Okay. Well, we are finally dipping our toes into the full Marvel Cinematic Universe with our kids.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we took the
That's
plunge.
Like a commitment.
Oh,
nice.
You're not kidding. But it's been really fun to revisit a lot of the older Marvel movies, which mm-hmm. in my opinion are the good ones. And it's been fun to see what each of the kids has kind of grabbed onto as what they like about the MCU. And they are both like just very into Ant-Man in a way that like I felt like by the time Ant-Man came around, like Marvel was such old news, I didn't really care. But they just think he's hilarious. So it's been nice. A fun way to reappreciate something I didn't think very much of before.
Awesome. So what's on your watch list? Is there anything that you're looking forward to or anything that you're loving right now in your grown-up, kid-free screen time?
Grown-up, kid-free screen time. Well, I finally sat down and got caught up on True Detective Night Country.
Yes, that's mine too.
Okay, good. I feel like we have our finger on the pulse, but I have to say, I like knowing that it's a limited series. And it's almost over at this point because it's getting too scary for me. Like, I liked it when it was walking the line of, is this just like a mysterious case or is there something scary and supernatural going on? And now that they've like kind of tipped their hand and it's very scary and supernatural, I am remembering that I'm a chicken.
I know it got, I don't know, I'm on like episode 4 or 5, whatever. We're all caught up, but... Yeah, some of the effects are very spooky. Mm-hmm.
I know. I think you like scary things even less than I do, but you're enjoying this?
I am enjoying it. I think I love the characters, Evangeline, and I love Jodie Foster's character. I think that the like pile of dead scientists in the hockey rink is like one of the most unexpected things I've ever seen on television.
Yes.
And also, so we are not having winter this year. Winter is canceled. It's been like 50 degrees.
Oh, wow.
All month. Huh. And like there's no snow. Yeah, it's really disconcerting. And so I'm kind of enjoying like getting transported to actual winter in Alaska for 1 hour per week on my television.
Oh, well, that's sad.
It is.
Anything else?
There's a bunch of shows. Well, there's a couple of shows we've tried. Like Fargo was too violent for me.
Okay.
That Mandy Patinkin show on Hulu is like kind of, it's meh. It's okay. Yeah.
Speaking of meh, we are watching Masters of the Air on Apple TV Plus because my husband is a war guy. Like, I feel like it's a classic dude genre. Uh-huh. And I am finding it just as like clinical and bloodless. I mean, not literally bloodless because it's a war and a lot of people die, but like, just there's not much for me to hang on to from a emotional engagement perspective, but it is like pretty to look at and impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else or should we wrap it up?
I think that's it.
In and out, short and sweet. Look at that. Well, thanks for listening to our conversation about AI. Next week, we'll be back with another review. If you enjoyed our show today, please recommend the show to one friend you think would enjoy it too. We love growing our community of parents for sanity and screen time. Want more words about screen time? Subscribe to our newsletter at myscreentime2.com. Tune in next time for more real talk about the movies and TV we watch with our kids because we have to, and sometimes because we like to. Bye!
Screen time! Screen time! Screen time! Screen time!
My screen time!